Welcome to the Steady Hand Podcast. I'm Scott Ronalds, joined today with Tom Bradley. And in today's session, we're going to discuss the second quarter of 2011. Now, before we dig into the details of the funds, there's a few happenings around the firm that we're going to touch on. First off, for those of you that have read the report already, you'll notice that it has a bit of a different look and feel to it. We really did a complete overhaul of the report. The goal was to make it a little more readable and digestible and give it a cleaner overall look. There's a few features in there as well that you'll notice. One is an indicator called the GRIP, ever so cleverly titled. That's based on our thinking on portfolio positioning and risk management. Gives you a sense of how we think your portfolio should be positioned in relation to your long-term asset mix. One of the other items in the report that you'll notice is our model portfolios. These are hypothetical portfolios comprised of steady hand funds that are suitable for investors with varying investment objectives and risk tolerances. You'll also see these on the website. We put a lot of resources into the overhaul of the report and our communications in general, and as always, we'd welcome any feedback or suggestions on the content.
Well, Scott, some of the feedback we got from previous podcasts was that that listeners would like to hear a little bit more about the firm, so we're going to give you a little bit more here. The update really in Steady Hand is fairly boring, and I think maybe we're living up to our name. It's been pretty stable, but clearly you know that we haven't wavered on our philosophy or our approach to how we deliver returns for our clients. The team has been very stable for a number of years. We have seven of us here in Vancouver, and David Toyne mans our Toronto office. The managers who manage the funds and who we're going to talk about in a minute have been stable, and within their organizations have been very stable in personnel and philosophy. And the list goes on, but suffice to say that today, as in the spring of 07 when we started, we have the same passion for what we do. And we've had a few people comment that we seem to have fun doing what we're doing, and that certainly is correct today. It's been very gratifying because we've had an increasing flow of new clients. It's starting to pick up. We see after 4 years of hard work some good traction. Early in the year we hit 1,000 accounts, and that has grown since then, and we now manage about $130 million on behalf of our clients. Where has it come from? Well, first and foremost, it's come from client referrals, and this is very gratifying to us. We didn't see it in the first couple of years, and it was a little bit alarming to us, but I think people had to live with Steady Hand and get used to us, but certainly now their friends and family are hearing about us, and it's certainly having an effect. And for those of you who've done that, thank you very much. It's been much appreciated. We've also had some great publicity just on the firm in general, on the book that we've published, It's Not Rocket Science, on our performance paper that we published earlier this year, and I guess more specifically on our income fund, which has been at the top of the charts now for quite a while and is drawing some attention. So, as I said, very gratifying to see the pace of growth pick up and the right kinds of clients for what we're trying to do. As far as markets go, I think 2011 may be very typical of what a debt-laden, slow-growing world is going to look like. You know, I think we've got to get used to the fact there'll be lots of noise in the press, most of it bad. Right now it's Greece and some of the peripheral countries in Europe. But I think after these are solved, it'll be either another country, another state, maybe an industry, or just a specific company getting in trouble. And that, I think, it's just a reality today. And I think returns will come in fits and starts to reflect that kind of news flow. Certainly in the second quarter, after having a couple of excellent years, the Canadian market backed off, was down 5%, with the commodities being pretty weak. At the same time, though, the world markets, world index was flat. And it's been pretty rare that the foreign markets have beat Canada, but that happened in the second quarter. Now, the bond market hasn't been immune to that kind of noise and that kind of back and forth. It's been bounced around a little bit, and I should just warn the listeners that they shouldn't expect too many quarters like the second quarter in the bond market. It was up 2.5%, or the index total return was that, and really fed by another decline in interest rates. Indeed, Government of Canada yields dropped on a 10-year bond, dropped below 3% for a time. So as much as we thought there wasn't much room for rates to decline, they have done that. Still, we think rates have very little room to fall from here, and maybe even at these levels, even we feel stronger about that, and lots of room for them to go up. And so you'll see how we're positioned in that respect as we go through the funds. Scott, maybe just to make one comment as far as how our clients have done. And I think in this kind of rocky environment we've had recently, they've really held up pretty well. I think depending on your asset mix, our balanced clients would be anywhere between minus 1% in the second quarter and plus 1%, depending again on how conservative or aggressive you are. Well, let's get started with our fund reviews. I'll kick it off with the income fund. And given the context I've just laid out for the markets, this fund has really done quite well. It was up modestly in the second quarter, 1.4%, but is on a good pace for the year so far, up 3.6% for the first half. Federal government bonds now have extremely low yields, and Connor Clark and Lunn, our manager, sees little room for further declines. As a result, they've taken a cautious outlook towards Canada bonds and have really focused much more of their government allocation to provincials, which have done much better. They've trimmed a little on the provincials, but it is still overwhelmingly the bulk of our government bonds. Part of the fund's good performance, Scott, has come from stocks, which have done well in this down market. The real estate income trusts, or REITs, and utilities have held their ground, as have some of the financials. And on the financial side, the banks remain the largest holdings on the equity side. Bank of Nova Scotia, TD, and Royal would be by far the largest holdings of the equity side of the fund. So going forward, the portfolio is positioned somewhat cautiously. When we've sold a bit of a stock or trimmed back on some bonds, the money has generally gone into short-term securities and cash. This reflects a view that Connor Clark and Lunn has that they want to have some powder dry in case the bond market backs up a little bit or the stock market goes down further. So in addition to that cash, they're focused on high-quality corporate bonds and have got a blend of dividend stocks, some of them having a higher dividend and some with more modest dividends but that are growing more rapidly. So, Scotty, I think all in all, a good report on the income fund. How are we doing on the equity side?
Well, as you mentioned at the outset, it was a tough quarter, at least for Canadian equities. The TSX was down 5.1%. This was based largely on weakness in commodity and cyclical-based stocks. The price of oil dropped 10% in the quarter, and several base metals followed that decline as well. The fund held up better than the overall market as a result of its more defensive positioning, and we describe what we mean by that a little more in the quarterly report. It was down about 2% in the second quarter. Consumer-focused companies are performing well operationally, with some of the small-cap holdings producing strong gains as well. Asia-Pacific Breweries and TMX Group are two examples there. And over the past year, the fund is up 23%. In terms of disappointing performance, Research in Motion has been a standout. CGOV is clearly frustrated with the company, but they feel that sentiment has swung way too far against the stock, and they're not going to sell it just based on poor sentiment alone. There were no new stocks added to the portfolio in the quarter, but the manager has been more active in adding to existing positions and trimming on strength with markets in a give-and-take mode, or as our income fund manager, CCNL, defines it, a risk-on, risk-off mode. Emphasis in the portfolio remains on companies that are generating lots of cash, have stable financial positions, and good recurring revenue bases. Examples of these would be TD Bank, Unilever, Home Capital Group, CVS, and Novartis. Tom, over to you for the global.
Well, as we move over to the global equity fund, it's very rare that we get to report a positive headline that came out of Europe these days, but actually France and Germany were among the strongest performing global markets. Elsewhere, the U.S. and Japan were about flat in the quarter. And as a whole, the world index was more or less unchanged. Over the last year, though, the world index had a total return of 19% in Canadian dollars and very much in line with what happened in Canada. Now, the fund hasn't performed as well as the overall market. It was down 1.5% in that flat second quarter and is up about 11.4% over the last 12 months. And when we look at it, it's really underperformed the broad market for about the past 18 months. Why is that? Well, a fund is positioned much more defensively than the overall market. It's focused on companies that have profit forecasts that Edinburgh Partners, our manager, thinks are much more achievable in a slow growth economy. As a result, they're buying these companies with low valuations, price earnings multiples, price to book ratios are low, and the dividends are higher than average. Most investors, on the other hand, have been interested in higher growth stories and are paying up for companies that are operating at peak margins and have lofty growth forecasts. EPL doesn't think these types of businesses will be able to maintain their current level of growth, and their share prices are much greater danger of falling back if expectations are not met. So the portfolio currently has the most extreme value bias it's had in our history with the manager, and it goes back even beyond that. So we're holding things like Japanese export-oriented businesses, European banks and insurance companies, and some of the mature U.S. technology companies, all trading at very reasonable valuations. While the fund hasn't delivered yet, we still feel comfortable that the manager is not wavering in its conviction, that it's being very conservative and looking for cheap valuations. And we do think when the tide turns from growth to value, and it will, that the fund could be very much in the sweet spot going forward. Scotty, the small cap fund?
Well, the small cap market overall was the hardest hit in the quarter. It dropped nearly 8%, and that's measured by the BMO Small Cap Index. Resource stocks in particular, and notably forestry and mining-related companies, were a big drag on performance. The fund, which as many of you will know, is positioned very differently than the index, held its ground in the quarter, and it was up 2%. Some of its key holdings continue to deliver very strong operating results. We touch on some of those in the report. One of the standouts has been Canadian Helicopters. It's the largest position in the fund and is up over 50% on the year. Clearly a company that's been firing on all cylinders. And on balance, the portfolio remains reasonably valued. There are some holdings that are trading at bargain levels, while a few others are starting to look more fully valued. The manager of the fund, Will Witherich, is holding a fairly large cash position at about 13% of the fund. He will look to deploy that if markets remain skittish and continue to bounce around and create some buying opportunities. In terms of new holdings in the portfolio, nothing to report this quarter. There were a few transactions that we touch on in the report, however. Overall, Will still remains pretty skeptical of the mining sector. He finds valuations difficult to justify, and he continues to believe that the risks outweigh the potential rewards in the sector. Well, Tom, let's cut it off there. I know you've got to get home and pack for your Ontario vacation. Thanks to everyone for listening.